kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
We have been having over the last few weeks, I believe the Lord's really been speaking to us quite clearly of the times that we are now living. And remember that we had a couple of teachings interpreting God's shaking, for we are beginning to see a shaking now, and it's going to continue and continue until the Lord comes. And we also looked on Sunday about the times, the end times, when the rapture is very near, and how God said that everything will continue to go as it is. And we called that teaching, if you remember, Just Another Day. Well, I want us to just go over some old things that we've been looking at and teaching over the years, just to remind ourselves what God is doing with us and that he never makes a mistake. And I think you'll hear this as we talk about this today. And we have a title for this. It's called Fire or the Word. Fire or the Word. One of the things that really gripped us when we began to hear the Word of God, the call, the challenge to overcome and to walk totally by faith and to trust God in everything, that caught our attention. And the reason that it caught our attention, because we were soon aware that very few were preaching faith as the Bible presents it. Many of us came out of churches or backgrounds or denominations where we were fed very little. And when we heard this, everything within us said to go forward with this. It's like all the lights came on, and it certainly did with me. And although we go through much trial and tribulation, and we all of us have and will, that light doesn't go away. That desire for the Word of God doesn't change. And this is why I'm calling this teaching today, Fire or the Word. And you'll see in a minute why God has given us this. Now, we have had much teaching over the years with regard to the book of Revelation, and particularly the first three chapters that speak of the churches, the seven churches in Asia Minor. And we have seen with each of those churches the promises and the admonitions that are there with those churches, but not only that, the inheritance. And the key word is that it's those who overcome. Overcome in whatever situation, in whatever trial we find ourselves in, we're called to be overcomers. And whatever you're facing or you still continue to face, you are called to overcome, because God is going to show in this walk that he is the one who overcomes. He has triumphed at Calvary. He is the forerunner. He has gone before to prepare for us, and he said, I will come back to you. And indeed he has, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's come back not only to empower us, but to take over. And we have to learn this. And a lot of this taking over is when in faith we learn to let go and get out of the way. But we often don't let go until those emotions and feelings and anger and frustration are dealt with. And God is merciful. He knows that we're human. He knows that we're flesh and that we're weak. And let's face it, he did create and make us, so he doesn't make a mistake. But we know for faith to operate, for faith to move and to answer, we have to get flesh out of the way. And of course, this is where the cross comes in, which we are to take up daily and follow the Lord. And the Holy Spirit will do the rest. It's for a lot of it is for that purpose, so that our faith can move. God can answer the prayer of faith. God will never answer emotions, feelings, frustrations, anger. And they're all things that at times we manifest because we've come to the end of ourselves. And so when we find ourselves in that situation where it's as though I cannot take it anymore, I'm at the end, and so on, and we have all been there and we will be there, that is where we let go. Because we have had faith, the teaching of faith over these years, we have learned this is the point I let go. That was the point when Jesus hung on the cross, when it became too much, the whole bearing of it all, the bearing of the world, the bearing of sin as that sin offering, as well as the pain and the anguish, all that he was going through on the cross. He came to the point, he let go, and he said, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." And he gave up the ghost. At that point, he had triumphed. He had overcome, because the Father was able to take over and raise him up. And that same principle works with us. And we hang on that cross. We look ridiculous. We look a failure. We look as though everything goes from bad to worse and so on. And there we are, stuck, nailed on it, for the very purpose that when we let go, then the power of God, the resurrection power, will take over. That is the principle of this walk, brothers and sisters. And some see this and some don't. And you have to experience this. Oh, it's painful. It goes against all logic. It goes against everything within our flesh that fights to survive. We have such a survival instinct within us. It's built in us. And God says, don't rely on that the world relies on. Rely and believe the power of the cross to do that work in your life for my glory. That is what God is saying. And why am I stressing this? Because this is the deeper life. And sadly, very few preach this as it is. And I'm calling this teaching today, Fire or the Word. And we've seen, as I said earlier, that the seven churches in Revelation, the promise to each of them is an inheritance. And this inheritance is only given to those who overcome, the overcomers. And what are the overcomers? They are the ones who stay on the cross. They are the ones that allow the resurrection of the cross to take over in their weakness. But mark my words, nothing is promised to those who allow themselves to be overcome. And at times we miss the mark, and it looks as though we've lost it. I've not allowed myself to overcome. I've done completely the opposite. But praise God, the mercy and love and grace and our faith knows that God doesn't give up, and you find yourself coming round again and you have another go. And you keep having a go and another go until you learn. That is the patience and long-suffering of our Father. But few want to go through this school of trial. And we know this. We've seen this in this assembly and other assemblies where they come for a time and then they've left. Because they want to do it their way. And they've allowed the world and in them to overcome. And it takes the grace and mercy of God in which to work this within us. And this, of course, is where our faith comes in. So, of course, faith is not just for your blessings and provisions and healings and so on. Our faith is ultimately that we will be overcomers and we will make it in, that we will be part of the first fruits, the rapture. That is also what our faith is for and why we walk by faith. But you see, many in churches today simply go as far as John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We all know that, recite that, and of course it's a very important scripture. And many get saved with that scripture, but you don't stop there. That is the point. And then they join a church or a denomination, but without any real evidence of change. And this, of course, is what frustrated me being in the denomination, when I began to see some Christians who were walking a deeper consecration than me. It frustrated me. I knew I was not going to be fed in this environment. There had to be something better and greater. That's what I was praying and calling out to God. And there would be those who were saying, well, you're asking too much. God works differently today than he did back at the time of Pentecost and so on. I had all the negative thrown at me, and yet there was still this hunger to want to go deeper with God. This hunger that kept saying there must be more than what I'm experiencing and seeing around me and in fellowship in the church that I'm in. Now God puts that hunger within your heart. And as a result of that, he begins to move you and he begins to bring you into the pastures where that hunger you have within you, you can start to be fed and nurtured, and where you can flourish. You see, many of our brothers and sisters, and they are our brothers and sisters, but they fail to see that it is a walk with God. God had to open our eyes to see that we walk with him. When you're caught up in these big organizations and denominations, you don't really experience the idea of walking with God and a fellowship with God. Your idea of fellowship with God is via man or an elder. And of course, this is what the shepherdship movement has done. So they have little experience of this walking, going deeper with Almighty God. But that is not your experience. Now, what does it tell us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Do you know that you have a calling on your life? And as an overcomer, God expects you to fulfill that call. And much of that call is walking with God in fellowship, in obedience, yielding to the Spirit. We also know this in Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Him, the tree, that is Christ, his word. We eat of him. That is why I'm calling this teacher fire or the word. And the overcomers have this hunger for the word of God, because the word of God is Christ to us. That's how he comes to us. We see these words, these promises, as we read them, we see that is him speaking to us. And this comes out of revelation. It comes out of relationship, a covenant with God, which the sons of God have. And some see that and some don't. And that's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit, is to move us on into the fullness of God. And so many believe that they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that they've made it. They're there. And they fail to see that that is the start of a deeper walk with God. And it requires that we overcome. How can you walk with God if you don't overcome? Your overcoming is because God doesn't walk and bypass problems or situations. He doesn't do that. He walks through the storm of the waters. He walks through the lightning. He walks through the earthquakes. He walks through all that we would run away from, which we would do in our flesh, and a lot of our brothers and sisters are doing. But because we love him, we're called to be overcomers. And if it means we're going to walk through a storm, then we walk through it, because I don't walk through it on my own. We walk through it together. That is what makes an overcomer, and that is what he's teaching us, and that is where our faith grows and matures. And not all want that. And that is why we can go through our fires now, our purification now, through the word of God, because there's coming a day when fire is going to fall. And you don't want to be left. And so this fullness of God, it requires that we overcome. And part of that is the trials and tests of our faith. And for all this to be achieved, it takes the instrumentality of his word and obedience into our lives. Because we know that faith comes by hearing, reading this word. And that's why we have such an appetite, such a desire for the Word of God and to get under that anointing, the unction of the Spirit. Here it is in John 16 and verse 13. John 16 and verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, oh, I love that. He's the Spirit of truth. No lie, no blemish, nothing within what he says and does. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. And sometimes to obtain that truth, because he says, if you know the truth, then the truth shall set you free. It sometimes means trials, testings. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So he is there at the right hand of the Father, and he hears what the Father wants us to know. We are getting this straight from the throne of God himself, our Heavenly Father. That's why we cry out, Abba, Father. He is our Father. He is teaching us through Jesus Christ. Look what it says here. It's not on his authority, but whatever he hears, who Jesus, he will speak. And he will tell you things what? To come. And that is what he does. That is what he's doing now. He's telling us what is to come. He's building our future, our hope, our vision. And he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So what the Father gave to Jesus, authority on heaven and earth, the keys to the church, he says, I share it with you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. They're in perfect agreement. The unity and oneness of the Godhead. Perfect agreement in what they say, what they do, and their actions, and so on. This is why it is revelation, brothers and sisters, that he's teaching us now, because this comes from our Father, that is revealed, and Jesus shares this with us through the blessed comforter, the baptism of the Spirit. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 5? Ephesians 5, verse 26, 27. Ephesians 5, 26, 27. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Who is her? The church, the bride, the overcomers. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And of course, he's typifying here the marriage and the one flesh of the marriage. And it's exactly the same spiritually. He's waiting for the marriage as we get ourselves ready. And so he's equipped us, the bride, in which to get herself ready. And how is he doing this? Through the word of God. That manner that we partake of, that I showed you in Revelation 2:7. And so we see then that the baptism in the Spirit is a moving on into the fullness of God. And it requires us with that fullness to overcome. That's why God has not made a mistake in your trials and your testings. Trust me, they are tailor-made. And he uses this in which to bring about deliverance and healing. That is why we hold on with the gospel, that it comes with healing, deliverance, salvation. You see, that healing doesn't always come in the way that we would like, or the time we would like, or whatever it is. You see, When we need healing or when we need deliverance, as I say so often, it's a much bigger picture. All you're looking at is the hurting, the frustration and everything. But God is saying, wait, because this is a much bigger work that I'm doing than you realize. And you will see it. If you remain faithful, you stay with it, you will see my mighty hand work. Now, for all this to be achieved, it takes the word of God, as I have said. For faith comes by hearing this word. You may not feel anything. You may not feel very grateful. You may not feel as though you want to praise the Lord or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. This is the parable of the sower. God is sowing seed and he knows what he's doing. You see, for those who reject to go deeper, it will be the instrumentality of fire. And we've been showing, haven't we, recently, that the overcomers are going to escape the tribulation, the great tribulation that is to come. Because those who do not overcome, they will have to go through the tribulation. Mark my words, and that will be a time of great fire. What is it saying, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And there we are, brothers and sisters. And we see that principle being carried out every day in Christendom, in the church. And this is why we go through what we go through. How do you know if you're an overcomer? How do you know if you're in faith or not? Then going through a trial, and when you come out of it, you see your faith, what it's done, how you endured, how God was faithful, and how he brought you forth. You need those experiences, brothers and sisters. That's what drops it from the head to the heart. Okay, when you're going through it, you can't see any of that. It's just a storm. It's all out of control and so on. But when you come through it and he brings you through, then you look back and you say, praise God. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And your reward's in heaven. See, God wants to encourage us that he hasn't got it wrong over your life or my life, as negative as it looks. Well, let's put this into two categories then. Remember, we're talking today about fire or the word. Firstly, there are the overcomers. And what are the overcomers? The overcomers are the ones who overcome the world. The world that you and I live in. And all that it contains. And you say to yourself, it's impossible. It can't be done. Well, of course it can't. But with God, all things are possible. And God has placed us in a situation where your life, your circumstances, it is impossible. And logically, it is. If we're going to look at logic, but I wouldn't look at logic for too long. You need to look at faith and experience faith. But logic would say, no way you can overcome this world. It's too strong. It will bring you down. It'll pull you back or whatever. And logic is absolutely right. But you see, we walk by faith. And God has empowered us by the Spirit in order to overcome the world. He would not have said it otherwise. He would have not brought us thus far if this can't be achieved. What does it say in 1 John 5 and verse 4? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. My strength, my intellect, my trying to do it myself and so on. No, your Bible doesn't say that, nor does mine. It says our faith. Our faith. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And that is why we walk by faith and not by sight, brothers and sisters. So, through faith in the Lord, the new birth, he's delivered our souls from the world. And that's why we pay the full cost of discipleship, that forsaking all. And the overcomers will be the one who go to perfection, or to that degree of maturity that is acceptable in God's sight. And that is what it is. We have put our hands to the plough and we don't look back. We have paid the full cost of discipleship, the forsaking all, which are the requirements of which to overcome the world. And that's why we have to be led by the Spirit in order for this to be done. What does he say in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1? Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussions of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. So there we are. Therefore, leaving discussions, arguing, not sure whether that's of God, I don't know whether I believe in that or not, and so on. You hear so much of that in a lot of Christians, going from one ministry to another, listening to one teacher and another teacher, and so it goes on. This is their problem. They don't move on. It says, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Suddenly you wake up. God doesn't accept our dead works. We cannot justify ourselves by our effort, our works, our human frailty. Something greater has to take over if ever I'm to overcome in this world. And it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it takes a while. You don't get it overnight. And we have to be led by the Spirit in which to mature, that the Apostle speaks of in Romans 8. And those that are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God, and they will be part of the releasing of groaning creation. But it is those who walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh or by logic or so on. And this, of course, is why our minds have to be renewed. What does it say in Revelation 21 and verse 7? Revelation 21 and verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. There we are, sonship. You inherit all things. And that is why you are co-heir and co-worker with Christ also, because he is the first overcomer who has overcome all things and now has made it possible. Hallelujah. And that's why the word of God is so precious to us, because it's by this word, the revelation of this word, that we overcome the world. And we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us his word. We're not in the flesh with regard to his word, but we let the Spirit teach us and guide us. That is most important. You see, there are many read the word, but they read it in a religious way. You have to be led by the Spirit in which to understand, to read, to assimilate the word of God. This is why I always ask for prayer for the word, because it's the word you sit under also. And I've said many times, and I'll say it again, we go as far as you are prepared to pray and get behind where you're being fed. I'm simply just a mouthpiece. That's all I am. Well, secondly, then, we've looked at the overcomers. Secondly, there are those who remain as babes. It seems they're just unable to receive the strong meat of the word. Now, how often have we found that in this room? Most that come into the room, they cannot stay right through the whole meeting. Many of them go after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or whatever. What's happening there? What is happening? Sadly, these are babes who are unable to take the strong meat of the word, because they want to argue, they want to debate the word. We've had many who come into this room and saying, oh, we can't debate and talk the word in this room, and so they won't stay. They have not learnt and been trained by the Spirit that you sit under it and you listen and you take it in. And there is the difference, you see. What does it tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 2? And here the Apostle Paul writes this church, this letter to the Corinthians, because he's challenging them to grow up and stop being babes. And what does he say here as we read this? And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. You're still carnal. And then he points out their problems. You've got envy, there's strife that goes on, there's divisions that go on amongst you. Behaving like mere men, he says. Some following Paul, some following Apollos, and so on. He calls that carnality. He says, you're babes. Why is he saying this? Because he's saying you can't grow in that environment. You can't grow when you've got divisions in the house of God. You've got gossiping, criticism, Some preferring this, some preferring that and everything. We've seen how God has removed that from this church over the years because they hinder you from growing. They don't want to grow themselves and they don't want you to grow. So sadly, in the end, God has to put them to one side, and it's going to have to be the fires, the tribulation that they're going to have to go through. And you can also read that in Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. You see, they walk by sight and not by faith. And there is the difference. And that's what God is delivering us from. He's not going to have us to walk by sight. He's going to have us to walk by these promises that he's given to us, which we believe upon and confess. But they argue against that. They fight against it because it's easier to trust in the arm of the flesh. But as we know, through this shaking now, we're realizing the arm of the flesh is beginning to let man down. Good and proper. It's happening before our eyes, and we're going to thank the Lord for this word that we can stand upon. You see, their consecration is shallow. It's an unwillingness to pay the full cost. And as I say, there's no shortcuts. The children of Israel tried to go a shortcut. They didn't want to pay the full cost. And God, it says, gave them up. They perished in the wilderness. That is a warning to us, the book of Hebrews tells us. And sadly, it's going to have to be the fire to purge them. And this is why he's showing us now a way of escape, so that we can be the first fruits, the overcomers that go up in the rapture, because not all are going up. We've got a teaching today that the whole church is going up like a glory boat. It's not, if you study the scriptures. It's the wise virgins. It's those who have paid the cost, who go through trial and tribulation now, learning to walk by faith and not by sight. And this is happening now amongst Christendom. And this reveals that we're near the end. We're seeing the separation that's happening. We've seen separation in our church. And I know some of you in your churches, you've seen this separation. Why? Because they don't want to pay the cost. Their hearts are still in the world and want to trust in the world and its ways. And it's failing because we've been given you two teachings recently that God is shaking the heavens and the earth, as Hebrews tells us in these closing days now. Everything is being shaken and it's not going to stop. And we are shaken individually at times, and that shaking reveals where our foundation is, whether it's on sand or upon the rock of Jesus Christ. How will you know unless you are shaken? But even God has got all of that in control. So we reminded ourselves again why we're here, why God is so faithful that he brings us week after week after week. He's not made a mistake. You're here because you are being prepared to be part of the bride of Christ. She is making herself ready. And we make ourselves ready by our commitment, our discipleship, our loyalty in the word and in prayer, our consecration, our separation from the world, trusting God and walking by faith. That's what he's doing. And God doesn't change it. God doesn't change the menu. You might get a bit fed up with it sometimes, think, oh gosh, I've heard this so many times. But you're going to thank God he's the same yesterday, today and forever, and he changes not. You will praise and thank him. Because we have so many brothers and sisters are looking for a revelation, looking always for revivals, looking for a new preacher, looking for a new church, looking for something that can stimulate them. It's emotions, feelings, and they let you down. But when your faith is in the Word of God and God alone, it never lets you down. And eventually we get it. Hallelujah. So there we are, fire or the Word. Father, we thank you. Thank you for reminding us today. Thank you for reminding us why we're here and that you've made no mistake in what you have given us over these years. Lord, we thank you for the deeper life teaching. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation. We thank you, Father, that you go before, you prepare the way, and that you are with us in our trials and our testings and all that we go through. And you're showing us to get out of the way, to let go, so that you take over. And much of that letting go is fear, anxiety, unbelief. That's what we have to let go, because that is the hindrance to our faith. But Lord, we know that that work which you've begun, you will complete and finish in us. And that is our faith, that is our assurance in you.
In the love of Jesus.